Hello and welcome to the sixth installment of the Beauty Podcast. And realistically, the last few episodes have been focused on dating preferences, mate selection preferences, and we're going to continue that trend with this episode, looking at the predictive effects of the fear of being single on physical attractiveness and less selective partner selective strategies. This paper is by Stephanie Spielman, Jessica Maxwell, Jeff McDonald, Diana Perugin, and Emily Impet. And if it's not very clear from the name itself, essentially it's looking at whether the fear of being single, dying alone, which is a pretty scary thought when you think about it, is one of the driving factors for humans essentially dating down, settling, however you want to put it, when it comes to mating selection, dating selection. Something that is more or less quite well understood. I mean, it should be quite inherently obvious that if you're afraid of being single and dying alone, you're going to go with whoever you find, right? And the question is then, how far down, how much am I willing to settle? A quantitative measurement of how far someone's willing to settle based on their fear of dying alone. So to begin, the fear of being single, which from now on I'm going to refer to as FOBS, defined as concern, anxiety, or distress regarding the current or prospective experience of being without a romantic partner, tends to be associated with settling for less in relationships. For both men and women, stronger FOBS predicts greater romantic interest in dating prospects who are less responsive and physically attractive, and once in a relationship, a lower likelihood of initiating breakups with dissatisfying partners. This is from Spielman and McDonald's previous study in 2013. Those with stronger FOBs, or the fear of being single, also tend to adopt a less selective matching strategy when speed dating by expressing interest in a large number of people. This is again from Spielman and McDonald's 2013 study. And so from this introduction, it should be pretty clear that when you're desperate to find, and I suppose desperate may be a bit of a harsh connotation, maybe a bit of the wrong word to use, but when you're really eager to find a partner, your criteria really does broaden. Just think of it kind of like the Tinder date settings. Actually, Bumble dating settings would be a better example. What happens is once you run out of swipes or people in your area, if you live in a really small town or rural area, then you expand your radius, you expand your age selection, and you just look, you throw out a broader net to find the person you're looking for. This is kind of the same thing, except say you haven't run out of potential matches, rather you want to find a potential match faster. So you're sacrificing quality for quantity, and it's sort of the same thing but a different aspect of that analogy. Continuing on, prior research supporting its trait-like properties has demonstrated that the fear of being single, or FOBS, varies much more between than within people. Here, I'm going to skip the statistics part of it just to make things simpler. For instance, FOBS increases immediately following a breakup, regardless of who initiated the breakup decision. This is from Spielman et al. 2016. Furthermore, preliminary studies suggest that FOBS can be experimentally primed, which is unpublished data from Spielman and Cantarella 2019. And I suppose the researchers made a note of this because this is basically saying that you can elicit the fear of being single through an experimental controlled procedure, which if this wasn't possible, then there would be no true experimental control. So this would really just have to be a correlational study or a quasi study where you have some control over the independent variables, but you don't really have a whole lot. One other way that they suggest in this research of how you can really detect the fear of being single or even try to quantify it is through a series of attachment styles where they say anxiously attached individuals or those who are characteristically clingy and needy in their relationships resemble those with stronger FOBs, such that they are both insecure about their worthiness of love and whether a partner will be there when they need them. And this is from Shaver et al. 2007. And in this sense, people high in FOBs and anxious attachment likely share similarities in their working models of self, such that they generally possess negative self-views. So they're trying to suggest a correlation between your self-worth and how much fear of being single you have, which makes a lot of sense because say you're a very confident, high-end, in-demand model, I don't know, I just use that example, say you're a very desirable engineer or something who makes a lot of money and is very attractive or handsome, then sure, then you're not going to have as much of that fear of being single as somebody who is low in value by society's standards and even by their own standards and their own self-esteem and their self-worth. So you can understand how self-worth is such an important concept to the idea of having that fear of being single trait. This correlation between attachment style, so if you're clingy, and your fear of being single was actually empirically found in research from Bielman et al. 2013. So to recap, what we know so far in this argument that we're trying to build up is that having a fear of being single, the FOB trait, does link to having a negative working model of self. So you see yourself in a negative light, you have low self-esteem, you think you're unworthy of love, so on and so forth. But the question is, how does this relate to your working models of other people? How do you see other people then? For instance, if your fear of being single arises from your chronic desire for a partner to provide safety and security, which is similar to anxious attachment styles, then those who fear being single may hold positive working models of other people, such that they hold romantic partners in high regard, and their fears represent their worries of not attaining this ideal. To put that in simple terms, you think other people are great, they're your protectors, they're your saviors from that doom of being single, dying alone, right? So you hold other people in high regard. That's the hypothesis that the researchers are suggesting. Now, mind you, this is just one attachment style. This is the anxious attachment style, and there are many different attachment styles of how people relate to their partners. On the other hand, if your fear of being single develops from perceptions that your partner is generally unwilling to commit, or they're unreliable or unfaithful, and your successful relationships are therefore difficult to attain, then the fear of being single may be characterized by a negative working model of other people. So this is the corollary of the first scenario, basically saying that you see other people as unreliable, unfaithful, and they're the reason for your pain, the pain of being single, or the pain of the fear of being single. So that worry, they're the cause of your worry, your anxiety. So you see them in a negative light. And then in the middle, you have avoidant individuals who generally prefer to maintain independence and then avoid vulnerability in order to prevent being hurt or disappointed. So it's kind of like you take that stoic stance, you try to be a stone wall, but that's all to protect yourself in the case that your partner leaves. So now we move on to how this type of attachment style and the amount of that fear of being single, which I did mention, is quite difficult to really assess. And even in this paper, the researchers have made notes that they're looking at it from a very broad sense. You know, you can only classify it into like a couple of groups, whereas realistically, a person is much more nuanced than that. And that level of detail is, again, very difficult to assess. Several studies in Spielman, McDonald, et al.'s 2013 paper illustrates that those with stronger FOBs engage in less selective mate selection strategies. This is the most pinnacle part of this paper, essentially saying that if you have a greater fear, you're going to be less selective. That's pretty straightforward. For instance, in simulated online dating paradigms, in which participants viewed online dating profiles varying in responsiveness and physical attractiveness, those with stronger FOBs experienced greater romantic interest than their less fearful counterparts in the unresponsive and unattractive profiles. Moreover, among those who feared being single, romantic interest was relatively equally directed towards the responsive versus the unresponsive targets and attractive versus the unattractive targets, suggesting a lack of selectivity. Importantly, those with stronger FOBs recognized that the profiles varied in responsiveness and attractiveness, and that they would be less likely to have a lasting relationship with the unresponsive versus the responsive targets. So in other words, they understand that this person might not be the best for them, they might be emotionally unavailable, and so people with a lot of fear of being single will take a downgrade on looks, but not necessarily on responsiveness or the quality of their relationship, because if you do, essentially, your fear is being single, dying alone. You're not going to choose somebody who you most likely know is going to leave in a day or two, or in a week or two, or a month or two. You want somebody for the long ride, even if that means they're less attractive. So you'll compromise on some things, but not all things. And so this is really important stuff here. Another example of less selective dating strategies was documented among speed daters. Compared to less fearful participants, those with stronger FOBs expressed a desire to match with a greater number of dates. So this is, again, that analogy I throw it out. You're going to throw out your net to be larger. You're going to be a lot less selective on your criteria for what you want in a person. Like, I don't know, women often have the criteria, he must be 6 foot tall. And then as the fear of dying alone becomes more and more real, you may, you know, adjust your height requirement or whatever requirement you may have a little bit. The important caveat is that this doesn't mean that they're settling for lower quality partners, as perhaps many of those speed dating participants would be high quality partners in the end. It does reflect a less selective approach to finding a match compared to those who do not fear being single. So I'm mentioning these two different arguments because it's important to differentiate that one strategy is just throwing out your net wider. You're going to go on more dates and do more stuff and more emotional labor. And the other is actively choosing people who aren't the best for you. So one is like sacrificing your time and your energy and your money to go on all these dates. And, you know, you might not find the one, but at least you're going on a greater number. And the other is choosing people who are less socially desirable. So it could be you've had a friend who you've kept in the friend zone, I don't know, and you, as the fear of dying alone again becomes very real, you take them out of the friend zone, you give them a chance, right? So there's a very subtle nuance to these two different strategies that the researchers are outlining, basically. Another interesting tidbit is that actually having the fear of being single, having that trait, doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to be less romantically desirable. And they showed this with Spielman-McDonald's 2013 study, where despite that some of the participants having more fear of being single, FOBs, they were still able to get romantic interest from other people. So that fear that they had, it does apply to a lot of people. And I think this is important to differentiate that it's not only the unattractive people who have that fear of being single, if that's what you may be thinking. Attractive people can just as easily, or conventionally attractive people on the outside, can just as easily have low self-esteem on the inside and have that fear of being single trait. But this obviously doesn't change on the outside their ability to get interest from romantic partners. I should mention though that in this paper they've said by objective metrics, those who fear being single seem to have relative success at attracting partners. Furthermore, they seem to acknowledge that their less selective strategies are potentially matching them with targets who are less responsive, less attractive, and less likely to foster lasting relationships. What this suggests to me is that the fear of being single applies to mostly average looking people. So I did mention that it could be unattractive, attractive, but it seems that it mostly applies to just people in that middle range, and which is the large majority of people, right? That's just how bell curve distribution works. But if everyone is in that average range, then they're going to attract each other. So it could be two people with the fear of being single attracting each other. And so realistically, there was never any problems with them dying alone, because at some point, if they're average looking people, they're not unattractive, but they're not the most attractive either, they're going to find their match eventually. That's just, again, averages. A big group of people are in that average section. The most unattractive people could have just come to terms in a very existentialist sort of way that they're going to die alone. You know, it could be a very nihilistic point of view. It could be a very depressing point of view to look at, but maybe that's why they don't have the same level of fear of being single. And so they understand it's not a fear anymore, it's just reality. And so they've come to accept it. Similarly, on the other end of the spectrum, the very attractive ones could also have that same fear of dying alone, but they've accepted it because it could be that their looks or their lifestyle is alienating, and so they've struggled to find meaningful connections or meaningful people who want to stick around for the long run. That's my take on why people in the middle of that bell curve distribution of looks have the most, well, not necessarily the most, but they have the fear of being single despite being able to attract people quite easily. So they don't actually have any trouble with attracting people. But despite that, they still employ these very unbeneficial strategies, like being very open or not selective with your partners, going out on many dates when you don't really need to. I think this just applies to the average group of people, the large majority of people, but not to the extreme ends. What the researchers really expect from this more or less seminal paper on the fear of being single topic is that you're going to take a greater hit to physical attractiveness in your partner. You're going to sacrifice more of that trait depending on the greater amount of that fear of being single that you have. You're not going to sacrifice on their responsiveness or maybe their humor or other things, but you will sacrifice on physical attractiveness. Now, we know physical attractiveness is very important, and the researchers of this paper, so Spielman et al., have cited Walster, Aronson, Abrahams, and Rotman, 1966, where they found that the greatest indicator of somebody's desire to pursue a second date is unsurprisingly, physical attractiveness, beauty, right? Objective beauty. I actually didn't know about this particular research paper, the 1966 one on the second date thing. And it does make a very strong case for how important beauty is, how highly we rank it for our date selection criteria, yet we're willing to sacrifice on that for something that's seemingly kind of irrational. I mean, think about it. The fear of being alone in your whole, I don't know, 70 years of your lifespan, you're going to be unable to find anyone. I suppose it does happen to people, but not as many people as you think. And a lot more people have the fear of being alone than actual forever alone people, right? So this is a very universal fear, but for whatever reason, it's not a very rational one. The researchers also mentioned that it's possible that less physically attractive people may be particularly prone to concerns about their ability to attract a romantic partner. In other words, less attractive people may be prone to the fear of being single. But I do want to go back to what I said previously on the extreme ends of the spectrum, of the attractiveness spectrum, more or less just accepting that fear of being single as either being a reality or for whatever reason, just not caring anymore. That fear just goes away because it doesn't matter. They found self-love, they found self-acceptance or whatever it is. They found religion, they found God, doesn't matter. But it would obviously, even from an intuitive point of view, make sense that as you go down in attractiveness, so say, and I don't like using these 1 to 10 numbers, but I have to just to illustrate the point. Say everyone's a 5, that's average. And as you go down from 5 to maybe a 3, you know, the amount of fear of being single goes up drastically because you're unattractive. You're in that unattractive range, but you're not hideously unattractive that you've come to accept this is your life, right? You've come to not care about finding a partner anymore. You've removed yourself from the dating race or the dating market or whatever you want to call it. People who are below that threshold, maybe say they're like a 2 or a 1 out of 10, they're horribly disfigured. They would find other things in their life that negate the fear of being single, right? So again, God is a great example. Religion is something that a lot of people turn to as replacing that biological need to carry on your progeny, you know, carry on your genetic seed. And instead, it's now to worship God or something like that. It's to help others. So you're diminishing that fear through some kind of nihilistic or existential acceptance. Right, so this is not what exactly the researchers are saying. I'm just trying to read in between the lines, and this is a lot of my own conjecture of what I think would be the case. So here, now I'm going to throw in a wrench into this entire theory. There is something called the matching hypothesis, which we did make multiple videos on our YouTube on the topic, one of which was why partners tend to look similar to each other. And that's because when you're dating, when you're looking for a partner, according to Wallstedt et al. 1966, you choose partners that look similar to you, they're of a similar attractiveness range to you, and this is done so to eliminate or reduce the chances of rejection because rejection stings. But Feingold 1988, as cited by Spielman et al., does suggest that partners, when we're making partner selections, we tend to choose people who are a couple of points above us in terms of our own attractiveness. If I'm we'll use numbers. If I'm a 3 out of 10, the chances of me finding a similarly 3 out of 10 and us being happy together should be quite high by the matching hypothesis. But by Feingold's theory that we go for people higher than us, then there's a very realistic chance that the fear of being single is real because we go for a 6, we get rejected, go for a 5, get rejected, go for a 4, get rejected. And as you're getting rejected, the fear that you're going to die alone does increase, obviously. It makes sense that people, when dating, will try to shoot for the stars, and we're not very good at assessing our own attractiveness because of all these biases like the mirror exposure effect. We see ourselves all the time, so we think our face is more desirable than it really is to somebody who hasn't seen our face ever. And so all of these effects, these confounding effects, do distort the dating market, and realistically what happens then is that you tend to just have that impending doom that you're going to be dying alone as you get rejected because you're not aware of where you sit in the market, how desirable you are, and every rejection just increases that fear of dying alone or fear of being single. What's interesting, and I use the word interesting a lot, I'm kind of wearing the word out, is that Liu and Zhang's 2009 study on dating preferences found that while attractiveness, so where you sit on that scale, is a significant predictor of romantic interest, which we've already known, similarity in physical attractiveness. So if you and your target or your partner or your spouse or whoever we're talking about in this scenario are of similar attractiveness, then it's not a significant predictor of romantic interest. What this means is that people of less attractive groups may still reject people who are similar to them or in their league simply because they have to, I suppose, overcompensate to make up for their shortcomings. A great example, so I put this into an example, when you see a lot of really particularly short women, like 5 foot tall, right? And they want very, very tall boyfriends or partners to protect them because either it's to compensate their short gene and ensure their kids have the greatest chance of survival, or for whatever reason, they really want really tall partners. And so if a 5 foot woman were to match with a 5'5" man who are both in the, I think, like the fifth or percentile or something for height, and their attractiveness and desirabilities were similar, then they still wouldn't match because the 5 foot woman would either want a much taller man to compensate, or it could be that the man would want a much more attractive woman to make him feel better. I don't know, but it still wouldn't work. So less attractive individuals have it unfairly much harder. This much rejection will obviously have its toll on the less attractive individual, and so their fear of being single, FOBS, will go up, which is where this theory is coming from. Buss and Shackelford, 2008, suggested that less attractive daters do tend to recognize their relatively limited pool of prospective partners and consequently set lower standards for romantic partner selection. So what all of this has done, this whole talk, the last 20 minutes of this podcast, is establish the link between physical attractiveness and FOBS, the fear of being single. And that's where we are now. To test this correlation between physical attractiveness and the fear of being single, what they did is they got a bunch of participants around the university campus and essentially had them fill out a questionnaire and take their photo to later assess their attractiveness with the questionnaire results. However, I did mention at the beginning of this podcast that one of the challenges is you can't really detect the level of the fear of being single somebody has. It's more like you have it or you don't have it, because this is a very broad and not really well understood term to talk about. For instance, how does a research participant define their fear of being single? Does being single mean that you have all of your other needs, including your sexuality, being met? Versus, does being single mean that you've never emotionally connected with someone? Does being single mean you struggle to find long-lasting relationships and that's what you really desire? There's so many ways of interpreting it. In this research, they use questions such as, I feel anxious when I think about being single forever. And this was rated from 1 to 5, not true to very true. And completed another questionnaire to understand their attachment style, because as I mentioned, understanding the link between your attachment style is very important to seeing how somebody with low or high self-esteem sees other people in their worldview. Essentially, what they found is that the fear of being single is not gender specific, and more importantly, it doesn't appear to be associated with judge-rated physical attractiveness. In other words, the researchers hypothesized that less attractive people would have more fear of being single. But in other words, almost everyone has it, or to some degree. Mind you, however, that this particular study, Study 1, was taken in a non-romantic context. And so to really look at the fear of being single, they set up a speed dating event for Study 2. What they found was, as hypothesized, where those with a stronger fear of being single were less selective about their desired matches. Women with low fear of being single were more selective, significantly more selective than men, which does make sense, because if you're not afraid of being single, then you're going to be much more selective about the type of man you want. And women in general are much more selective, because in the end, they're going to be carrying the child for 9 months. This has always been the evolutionary bias towards men versus women selection. For the men and women with very high fear of being single, they were found to be both equally unselective. And so while the group with high fear of being single were both very unselective, the researchers couldn't find any strong correlation with their actual physical attractiveness. What they did find, however, was that having a high self-worth, having a high self-rated attractiveness, was indeed very attractive to other people in that speed dating scenario. So to summarize, the fear of being single was somewhat marginally negatively correlated with your physical attractiveness. This was a weak correlation, mind you, but if the fear of being single goes up, then chances are you're a less attractive individual. I should have said that the other way. That would have made more sense. Also, the fear of being single was not significantly associated with lower evaluations of physical attractiveness from others. In other words, I can't really tell if you have a fear of being single if I'm rating your physical attractiveness. It's not something that shows up on the outside, and so it's not going to influence your chances of finding a partner, even though you may be anxious on the inside about dying alone with your cats. What this would suggest is that the fear of being single doesn't actually develop from repeated or unrequited love or unrequited romantic interest, basically. So if you're a less attractive individual and you get rejected thousands of times, that doesn't necessarily influence your fear of being single. That's not where it stems from. Mind you, that the sample size in this study wasn't all that big. I believe it was around 100 to 200 in all of the studies. And so what this means is that it doesn't have a lot of statistical power. If I had a sample size of 1 million people, I'd be able to find all sorts of things that I wasn't even looking for, because that's very high statistical power. If I had a sample size of 7 billion people, the whole human population, I'd find anything and everything I wanted to look for. I could make up any type of guess, a statistical thing, like aliens exist, and I'd find one in 7 billion, right? But this doesn't actually detect a whole lot of significance between the fear of being single and your physical attractiveness. So it could be that either the power is not very strong in this paper, and it's not strong enough to detect something that is a real significant thing in our psychology. But to me, if it's not powerful enough to detect it in a sample of 200 people, then it's not really all that important. I would just say that it's not enough to be of significance, and therefore the fear of being single is not correlated with your physical attractiveness. Now that we know that the fear of being single is not really related to the judge or your self-rated attractiveness score, what this suggests is that the stronger fear of being single participants are not necessarily settling for a less attractive mate during selection because they assume that they can't get a mate due to low attractiveness. If they've rated themselves quite highly and have strong self-esteem, as many of the participants in this study had, yet they still have a high fear of being single, then perhaps it's coming from somewhere else that's influencing their very broad selectivity or their lack thereof when selecting partners. It could be, as the researchers suggest, that those with high fear of being single perceive themselves either inaccurately or accurately, we don't know, as being lower in mate value on other important dimensions like your personality, sociability, earning potential, your resources, your class, your character, so many other things, but not physical attractiveness. Or it could be, as they cited DiPaolo and Morris 2006, that being single has a lot of negative stereotypes to it or connotations, and so the goal of attracting a partner, any partner, is much more chronically salient. It's a very important aspect of your life. You may have your grandparents or your mother or your father telling you every Christmas or whatnot, when are you getting a boyfriend, when are you getting a girlfriend, right? So you become a lot less selective, and it could be that this is what's heightening your fear of being single. In this paper, there were a few small limitations, such as the participants were asked to smile, but then how do you define a smile? Is it mouth open, mouth closed? And those mouth closed actually rated a bit lower than the mouth open ones. So that's one confounding effect. Another is that the ratings actually looked at just the face, not the whole body, which is important because some people may have higher body mass, which can lower the rating of the face and vice versa. And another would be that the judges could have been looking for specific facial features. They might have been looking for people of the same ethnicity as them, many different things when rating a face. It's quite difficult to rate a face objectively, especially if the judges aren't exactly trained on what makes a face attractive, like we would be talking about for a video. So there's all those confounding effects that may have influenced the rating, but overall, the correlations were very marginally small, and so it's safe to say, I would say at least from the research, that there is no significant effect between the fear of being single and your physical attractiveness. Or more correctly, if you're lower in the attractiveness scale, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have a greater amount of fear of being single, which goes back to what I did mention before. Quite anecdotally speaking, less attractive men, especially, I can't really speak for women, but less attractive men, for the ones that I've met, seem to be very accepting of their status in society, seem to be very accepting of their life and the quality and what they expect for the future. And so they're less attractive, they've come to terms that they may as well just die alone. As bleak as that sounds, it is a reality for some people, and so this type of attitude is not that unusual. So there is no fear of being alone per se, it's more so that they've come to terms with it. It would seem that participants who have a greater fear of being single focus a lot more on their physical appearance, more so than others, due to it being a chronic focus of attracting and retaining romantic partners. This again doesn't necessarily mean that less attractive people would have a higher fear of being single, because it could be that they just remove themselves from the race altogether. But for the rest of the group, even very attractive people who have high fear of being single, their looks are still an important thing on their mind. So to end this podcast, we know that looks are important. They're very important when attracting mate selections and partners, but the fear of being single is something that isn't really unique, or it's not concentrated to less attractive individuals, as you may think intuitively, because getting more rejection sucks. And these people would obviously get more rejections. That's just the harsh nature of this reality. And so eventually those rejections would pile up and take its toll, its mental toll on the receiver. That's not actually the case. And thankfully that's not the case, because the fear of being single is not necessarily limited to one attractiveness group, as you would think. Mate selection criterias are broadened on people who have higher fear of being single traits, and while this trait is not necessarily influenced by physical attractiveness, the reasons for people throwing out a much broader net than they have to could be because of other things. They may feel unworthy as a provider, they may not have enough money or resources, Great Gatsby style, where Jay Gatsby left the love of his life to make something of himself and come back when he had more money. Spoiler, but if you haven't read the book or watched the movie, then I don't know what you're doing. It could be that they feel unworthy because of personality characteristics. They're not as funny as a partner, or they're not as funny as other people around them. They might not like the same things. There's a whole list of reasons that haven't been tested, and so we can't draw those definitive conclusions just yet, but we can rule out physical attractiveness as a starter.